Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Welcome, welcome to the show. This is, yes, the DL Link Show on 101.9 High FM, the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. Happy day to you, and I do hope that it has been a happy day so far. The sun is shining, certainly here in Joburg, and it is a glorious day. We had a massive storm last night, and just going on to all the socials and looking at trees and bridges and whatever. So really, we have to always be grateful for the small things. Get through a storm, and the next day the sun shines. And isn't that life, that that even when the sky is gray and lots of clouds, they do eventually move and we see the blue. And that's what we have to hold on to and remind ourselves constantly. And I do hope that on this show, that's what we bring you. You know, not only very informative information regarding treatments and doctors, and but also beautiful stories that show you another way or perhaps inspire you. Well, our next guest, Pally Rosen, who is an occupational therapist, has got a really beautiful story to share with us. You know, we always talk about sometimes you go through really difficult times and then life just kind of changes and you move in a particular direction with a particular purpose. And that is certainly Callie's story, and she's going to be sharing it with us in a moment. Looking at helping caregivers, palliative caregivers with burnout, and how important is that? So we're going to be chatting with Kelly in just a moment. But I do, before we get to Kelly, I want to remind you that on the 4th of April, something really special is happening in the beautiful city of Yerushalayim. Of course, the Jerusalem Marathon. And so if you want to make a difference, well, then the marathon's calling you, because you get to run through the stunning streets of Jerusalem and you get to honor a warrior with every step that you take. We hear from people all the time about what an extraordinary life-altering experience it is, because it isn't just a race. You basically uplift lives. You bring hope to those who need it most. You know, as I said, it's the 4th of April, and we are heading, you know, nearly into mid-March, believe it or not. Flights are limited, spots are filling, so please do visit the website to sign up if you'd like to join Team DL Link, www.dllink.co.za. And if you don't want to be a part of the team, but you want to maybe sponsor or make a donation to one of the runners, please go visit the website and all the information is there. So Kelly, lovely, lovely to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thanks, Nikki. Nice to be here.
Oh, it's lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And, you know, and I always love to hear people's stories. And I think that your story sounds fascinating. So I'm no pressure, but I am looking forward to it, Kelly, because you were a caregiver to your child who required pediatric palliative care. And this deeply impacted you. Can you just unpack that and share with us a little bit more, please?
Sure. So I had a son in 2019, and due to complications, he suffered a severe cerebral palsy and brain damage. And 2 years ago, he started getting recurring pneumonias, and unfortunately, it caused his lungs to become very ill, almost like a cystic fibrosis lungs. And this time, actually last year, 2024, we were advised to put him onto palliative care. He was suffering, he was really just in a lot of pain and very uncomfortable. And this was a very scary journey for us, because you hear the word palliative care, and unless you've really had to deal with it, for the layperson, it sounds like end-of-life care. Mm. And when we discussed with the doctor and the team, we actually came to realize that this isn't the case. It isn't necessarily end-of-life care, but it's supportive care, and care for the patient, the family, to reduce their pain, the stress, the burden, and to make them more comfortable and give them a better quality of life.
Yeah, carry on, please.
For 5.5 years, we were a caregiver to my son, and I intimately understand the profound mental and physical toll of caregiving, and the extreme burnout that accompanied this journey for me was very transformative. I believe it offered a very unique experience for me on resilience and the human capacity for endurance, but it also underscored the critical importance of the lack of caregiver support systems in holistic care. So the care is there for the patient, and there are places that do try and offer the family support, but they obviously often don't have the resources, and they're trying to help the child. So there's little support for the caregivers, for them to have assistance.
Sure. Let's just go back. I mean, that's quite a story. And I don't want to rush anything, Kelly.
Sure.
Because for 5.5 years to be that for your son, as you say, a complication of birth, and then last year with the problem with his lungs. Do you have other children?
Yes. I do. I have a daughter. She's almost 3.
Okay, so you've got another child. Okay, so you're dealing with all of that. Can I ask how your son is?
He passed away last year.
About six months ago. I'm so sorry, Kelly.
Thank you. But he was really sick and suffering, so he's not suffering anymore.
Wow, I'm so sorry. It's so brave of you to come onto the show today.
Thank you.
I just want to say that we appreciate your bravery, and that you've taken this and what you've extracted, as you said, there was so much that you learned. You learned a lot about resilience, and also what little support there is for caregivers, you and your husband being a caregiver for, all of this time.
Yeah.
So maybe you can just tell us, Kelly, at what point did you think, I need assistance, I need help, I need support?
The doctors kind of suggested it to us. We were taking it all on ourselves, and we didn't want to burden anyone else with our stress. So the doctors suggested that, with palliative care comes the support for the family as well. And so we tried to seek support where we could. Even though my son didn't have cancer, Gabby from the DL Link reached out to me, and we got so much love and care from the DL Link. They were so supportive, and a phone call away if we needed anything, a meal, whatever we needed. We have amazing family. So my family all rallied around us and became our rocks that supported us when we felt like we couldn't carry on.
And so now you are looking at occupational therapy for and support for those caregivers. So let's talk about that. Let's talk to the people who are listening right now, who are the caregivers, who are holding the hand, who have to be there with the pain, with the treatment, to support in every way possible. How are you reaching out to them, and what exactly are you doing? Is it a support group? Do you see people one-on-one? What is this movement that you're creating?
So at the end of last year, I was at a crossroads, and I decided that what better way to honor Gadi than by taking my degree and my knowledge and helping other people. So I created Kelly Rosen Occupational Therapy, and I have a special interest in pediatric palliative caregivers burnout. So I offer caregivers, but caregivers are not just the parents. Caregivers are parents, siblings, the actual carer, grandparents, anybody else who is physically involved with supporting the child with the illness. pediatric refers to the age between 0 and 18. So that's my primary interest. But I welcome referrals from all caregivers and assess it case by case to just make sure that I can give them the most supportive and holistic care. So basically, you know, to the caregivers, the key characteristics of caregiver burnout is emotional exhaustion, where you just feel hopeless, detached, and numb. You become very depersonalized. Excuse me. You have a reduced amount of empathy
Carrie, what do you mean by depersonalized? What does that mean?
So depersonalized you're not within yourself. You detach from everything around you. So you have reduced sympathy and compassion for other people, and sometimes there's reduced sympathy and compassion for the person that you are caring for. Mm-hmm. It affects reduces performance, so it also affects the way and the quality in which you're giving the child or the person the care, because you have feelings of guilt, you have feelings of inadequacy, and it really affects the way that you're able to give this sick family member support. And then also one of the biggest things is it decreases our cognitive function. So the anxiety and the stress and the burnout affects attention, memory, executive functioning, and processing speed. And a lot of people will describe this as brain fog, where you just can't think one step in front of you. Your brain's just a mush. If someone tells you to do something, you can't rationalize in your head how are you supposed to make time to do that, because everything else is too much for you. And
I'm just thinking, Kelly, that there isn't time out. I mean, you can't switch off the switch. This person needs you. You're talking specifically the pediatric palliative care. This little baby or this young person needs you all the time. You can't just say, I'm taking a month off.
Exactly.
You know.
And even so, pediatric is defined as between 0 to 18. So okay. It could be a little baby, but it could also be your older son or a daughter. And it could also be your young parent. You know, it's also an abnormal amount of responsibility on the child and the husband, or vice versa, to be caring for that sick child.
Yeah. So what are the risk factors for palliative caregiver burnout?
So chronic stress, the ongoing caregiver responsibilities without any form of adequate respite or self-care, which is always what we find, because you feel when you're in that position, I don't have time for self-care. I don't have time to sit in the bath. I need to sleep. I still need to eat. I have to wake up and make sure the medicines are done and therapies, and everything else becomes more important, and you lose yourself in that process. And often a lack of support. So if there's insufficient emotional or practical support, financial support is a huge one, because having a sick family member can really drain you. You know, sometimes your friends don't understand what you're going through, so it's really hard to connect on a social level. And you've got your healthcare professionals, but they're busy worrying about the sick patient. They're not really worrying about you as the caregiver. And then especially if it's a complex case. So if the patient really has complex medical regimens, medications, things like that, their symptoms are severe and sometimes their behaviors. So, and also you'll find that most of the time, it's the emotional attachment that you have to the patient. It makes it very difficult to cope with their declining health.
And then, so what are the consequences of that down the line?
So down the line, it will obviously decrease the quality of care that you're able to give that patient, because if you're not okay, then no one can be okay. And it's really, really important that you you see somebody to help you with those kind of things, the care of the health, the caregiver declines, so that risk for physical and mental health problems, and it's not just the physical symptoms are real. They stem from the actual burnout, and you start having symptoms that can't be explained by any doctors, and it's all due to the absolute burnout and your mental health, depression, anxiety, etc. It's very isolating being a caregiver of somebody who is ill. So there's also a decrease in socialization. There's no motivation to want to get up and get dressed and do anything. And then when you are around people, you still feel very isolated and insecure because you're going through so much, and you don't want to burden other people with your problems, but you're in just the state of fight or flight. And then, you know, even though we try our best, eventually when you're burning out and you've got nothing left to give, it may affect or decrease the quality of caregiver that you're giving to the patient. And the more the patient's suffering, the harder it is for the caregiver.
I can imagine there so many people who are listening right now who are perhaps nodding their head and they're going, I know this only too well, or I've felt guilty for so long feeling this way, or I'm just not myself. All of these, the isolating, this awful place to be when all they want to be is there, right? You know, and available to the patient. So I'm really, really interested in what you've devised. Like, how does occupational therapy assist with the caregiver burnout? What does that look like?
So, Nikki, I just want to ask you if you mind if we take a step back, just for the lay sure. people and for people who may be newly diagnosed. I just want to explain a little bit about what palliative care is, because it's a very taboo word. And I think people hear the word palliative care and automatically think that, well, this means that the person's dying and it's end of life. So palliative care is actually defined as the type of care that focuses on relieving the patient's symptoms, assisting with their pain and stress, and which is caused by their chronic life-threatening illnesses. It's a holistic approach which encompasses compassion and support, which goes beyond the patient to their entire family. Palliative care can also be implemented from the moment of the diagnosis throughout the patient's journey, even in the event of recovery. So even if the patient's in recovery, they may still have some symptoms there's chronic pain, and the palliative care team will still manage their chronic pain. And then obviously to increase pain medication and more comfort to the patient if the symptoms are worsening. And the primary goal of palliative care is actually to improve the patient's quality of life so that they remain comfortable, free from suffering. And, you know, the patient goes through a lot of physical, social, emotional, and spiritual distress. And that's what palliative care does. They assist the patient with all realms that they're struggling with. It's also given in conjunction with other therapies. So, for example, with DL-Link, with the medication, with chemo, with radiation, and a whole team works closely with the patient and the family. So there'll be a family meeting, and the family will discuss what their goals and the patient, what their goals are for their treatment, and they come up with a tailored treatment plan together as a family. So it's not very scary. It's really just to be there to support you and your family while you're going through this devastating time.
Yeah. And I think it's really important to stress what you did about the palliative care, because, you know, we've tried to, and certainly at times when we've had hospice on the show, and they wanting to put the point across that palliative care begins with diagnosis. And as you say, it's really just to bring comfort and support.
Yeah, I mean, our palliative care team was was unbelievable. I could message or phone the doctor at any time of day or night. She was there for me. She really guided me and trusted me to know my son's pain and when she needed to be contacted or when she needed to come see him or what needed to be changed and adapted for her. So for him. So the team is really, it's really amazing and there's so much support.
And this is what they specialize in. You know, these doctors know how to deal with the pain and the discomfort and...
Yeah, especially the pediatric ones. They're God's gift to angels. Mm-hmm. God's gift to the world.
Yeah, just amazing. So, Kelly, for people who are listening, and, you know, they're thinking, I'm feeling this is where I am at the moment. What would happen? They would call you. What would a session look like with you? Is it a one session? Is it over a period of time? How do you help them with burnout when they can never switch off?
Yes, so they would give me a call. And we would set up, they would get some forms and just so I can see a bit about them before they arrive. And their first session would be an assessment and getting to know where they having difficulties, if it's with their cognitive burnout, their chronic stress, their physical symptoms. And we sit and work through all the different goals that they would like to achieve. Or we take it even lower step by step and we give them small tasks that they only need to achieve during the day because everything feels mammoth, you know, to do everything. So we do cognitive training, which is targeted activities and exercises to improve specific cognitive skills. And we said those cognitive skills are attention, memory, executive function, processing speed, the brain fog. We also do a lot of mindfulness training. And I know people think, oh, I don't have time to be mindful and to think about it and to sit and meditate. It's not about that. It's really just taking 5 minutes to breathe and try and just regroup yourself. And we teach this through cognitive behavioral skills. We also do coping skills and stress management. We teach the individuals the skills to better manage their stress, such as time management, self-care, and participating in any activities of daily living that they used to do before. So stupid things like brushing your teeth could be causing you so much anxiety, and you have no idea why, because it's something you did before and it never caused you anxiety, or washing your hair or shaving your face. And we get to the root of why that specific task is causing you such anxiety, and we work around a way to rework it into your activities of daily living so that you are somewhat healthy. We also will assist if the family needs compensatory techniques for the patient, so other ways that we can adapt the environment so it reduces the workload on the caregiver. For example, if they have stairs at home and, you know, they're carrying their child, you know, we will go in and see if we can adapt and assist them to adapt their environment so that they don't have to carry the kid and they're not putting physical strain on their body. And then also with the caregiver burnout, we teach the individuals to use like assistive devices. So for example, my memory became shocking, absolutely shocking. And I had to find a way to remember everything and have everything in a schedule, but it all was too much. So it's about coming up with a schedule together that works for them, that incorporates what they need to be doing, as well as looking after themselves and looking after the patient that they're looking after. And then we also break each task down. So like I said, when, for example, the brushing the teeth may be causing anxiety, we break it down into manageable steps so that it doesn't feel so overwhelming. And we slowly work on building on those steps to improve the cognition and improve the coping skills and improve the cognitive training so that you are better equipped to be able to deal with the caregiving that you are doing. Because again, if you're not okay, no one's going to be okay. And then we also just give education and support. So We educate the families, the individuals. We give all of them cognitive strategies and provide ongoing support. If it's a sibling of a palliative patient, we work with the children as well in ways that you as the parent can work with them to also, because they also caregivers. At the end of the day, they're going to be around the patient. They're going to, I'm sure, be helping you at some point. So, yeah, so that's what we really do in occupational therapy, and it's a holistic therapy. It's not a once-off thing. It's maybe a couple of appointments, or if the patient wants a, you know, for a longer term. It's really dependent on the patient and what their level of burnout is and how much assistance they need. And we assess each situation case by case.
Kelly, just amazing, really. Wow, and so comprehensive. So, you know, what a journey, and what a tough journey it's been, as you said. But there were so many profound learnings, and that your son's name was Gadi.
Yes.
Yes, and you know, he's passing so sad and so awful, and you're taking everything from that, and in his name, you're helping others, and that's pretty extraordinary, Kelly. So it's Kelly Rosen Occupational Therapy. And if people want to get hold of you, if this resonates with people, how do they get hold of you?
Sure. They can contact me on 068-600-2853 or kellyrosenot@gmail.com. That's kellyrosenot@gmail.com.
And then number really, again, 068-600-2853. Yes, and you were saying?
It's really just a place to offer the caregivers support, a safe space where they can be heard and understood, and also not judged, because when somebody's been through the situation before, it's a lot easier to connect with somebody who's been down that road than somebody who has shared their experiences just from what they've, you know, learned in a textbook or been around. So my, you know, Kelly Rosen Occupational Therapy is really there to offer safe space and support and love and care to get you through this difficult time.
Sure, Kelly. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nikki.
As I said, we appreciate the bravery for sharing the story, but also the work that you're now contributing and giving back to the world. Thank you. Thank you.
And just a huge shout out to DL Link for all that they do, and the community are very lucky to have DL Link.
Absolutely, 100%. Thank you, Kelly. Kelly Rosen, and that's Kelly Rosen Occupational Therapy, creating support for pediatric palliative care burnout.